Well, good morning, Pine Lake Covenant. It is so good to be together in worship this morning on this beautiful Advent morning. Just experiencing the lighting of the love candle. Each week, right, we light a candle that represents one of the themes of Advent: hope, peace, joy, love, the Christ candle symbolizing light. So now, I would like you to rank your favorite: hope, peace, love, joy. What do you love the most? Oh, is that kind of hard? We could do the four corners. Everyone who's for love, go there. Whoever's for, no? Okay, it's not youth group. Luckily, Advent is not a youth group four corners game. Yet in our world, the theme most talked about, most written about, most anthemed around the globe is love, right? 70% of our song collections reference love. You could probably name some right now. You could probably sing some. Our English word for love is fairly one-dimensional. In one breath, I can say, I love coffee. And I love my husband, Rob, who I think literally just got that on video. Now, those two loves are clearly not the same. It's close, but they're not the same. So what kind of love are we lighting on Advent Sunday? A latte love? No, friends, it's, we're talking about a love that is so deep and wide and high that it bends your mind and perplexes our soul. It is a complex reality of God's love for us that seems almost too good to be true. Because from the beginning of time, God's posture toward humanity has been one of love. We're talking about, in the words of our Jesus storybook Bible that the kids are learning downstairs, never-ending, never-giving-up, always-and-forever love. And creating, in the very beginning, creating out of the overflow of his divine triune community of love, Father, Son, and Spirit, in the love of his community, of this community, God pours out creation from this source, singing the world into existence, saturating like every prism of light and every blade of grass with love. And then breathes his own spirit of breath into souls, raising them to life, giving them everything they need. Indeed, before the world and her inhabitants were formed, they were divinely loved. Now, scripture tells us this, okay, that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Eternal. Jeremiah writes that the Lord says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. The Psalms continually repeat, his love endures forever. His love endures forever. God speaks through Isaiah. He goes, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will never be shaken. Wow. And then God, in his own self-description, describes himself as abounding in steadfast love. Indeed, God's gaze upon his children is a loving one. Yet, as humanity rebelled and continues to rebel, and we're living in the brokenness and the consequences of desiring to be our own gods, we have blocked our ears and blinded our eyes and hardened our hearts to God's loving invitation to union. And in this brokenness, perhaps many of us have carried a deformed picture of God. Maybe somewhere in our stories, pain happened, shame happened, church wounds happened, trauma happened, failure happened, and perhaps slowly, quietly, subtly, perhaps our view of God has been twisted. And maybe we begin to imagine God is perpetually disappointed in us, frustrated with us, harsh, distant, removed, suspicious, waiting for us to just get it together already, vengefully wrathful, or loving the whole world, but not, surely not me. These deformed pictures of God, friends, they settle in our bones, and they shape how we see God, of course, but how we see ourselves. And then, therefore, how we see one another. And so we hide in shame, shadows of shame, and mistreat each other in judgment. And this is why the incarnation matters. This is why Christmas matters. This is why we light the love candle today, because God's final love message to the world would not be misheard or misunderstood. As we saw before, right, God has never been silent about his love for humanity. But Hebrew tells us something remarkable in the incarnation, in the birth of Christ. The word of God says, in the past, God spoke. He spoke love, right? He spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. And in John, we read that the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, God with us. And Hebrews finishes that. It says, Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature. So, in other words, words, prophecies, temple presence, even miracles were not enough. And in the right time and in the fullness of time, God said, I will send my message of love in a new and permanent and visible way. I will send myself. If we want to know what the love of God looks like, look at Jesus. Jesus is the invisible God made visible, God's heart translated into human language. Love dwells with us in Christ. So you want to know how much God loves us? Look at Jesus. How does Jesus love? He touches the untouchable. He embraces the shamed. He lifts up the fallen. He feeds the hungry. He forgives the guilty. He welcomes the stranger. He binds up broken hearts. He dignifies the invisible. He heals the bruised and he defends the powerless, and he dies for us. How much does God love us? Look at his son. Jesus is not merely telling us that God is love. He is showing it, living it, breathing it, equipping and empowering us toward it. Love did not just remain this idea or this philosophy for the smart. God walked among us and brought evil and oppression and darkness and sin to justice and redeemed us and reconciled us back to loving union with God. Indeed, the Sunday school verse, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. We know that part. Don't forget the next. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. For God so loved, he gave and he saved. Now, I remember my spiritual direction, the first hour in spiritual direction. My director gave me a book called Life of the Beloved by Henry Nouwen. Highly recommend it. But I said, been a Christian kind of a long time, you know, shouldn't we do something like high level? Becca, as soon as you feel like you really get the love of God for you, we will move on to something else. 20 years later, we are in the same conversation. Becca, will you this day receive your belovedness? Will you walk in it? Will you abide in it? Will you accept that it is grace and not earned? Will you let it spring up within you like living water to pour out to the world? I have a new spiritual director now. And guess what we're learning? To believe and receive my belovedness in Christ. This is the holy, sacred task. Perhaps this is where you are today. You're like, who, me? God loves me or us, this community, this world? Can God's love reach that far into brokenness? Yes. But this is why Paul prays for us in Ephesians 3:16-19, that we together, this is a holy community work to do this, together with all the saints, may we have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Friends, why do we need power? Why is Paul praying for us to have power? Is it to theologize? Is it to write doctrines? Is it to write tomes on the hypostatic union of the Trinity? No, We need power in order to grasp the infinite, eternal, all-consuming, transformative love of God for the world, because it's that high and that wide and that deep and that eternal. We need power to receive it. And it is then only out of the wellspring of finding our belovedness in Christ that we can even begin to show the world that we are disciples by our love. Or it will be deformed. We first receive this grace, this love, and then we can give it. Then it becomes a love that doesn't gloat and doesn't elbow for power or position, that doesn't exploit or oppress people, but a kind of love that binds itself deeply to godly compassion, forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Worship team, I think this is next, but love is not just something we receive. It's something that we announce as well. This is our Advent call to go tell it. Go tell it. But maybe you need to start with go tell your own heart first. Preach to your soul. Jesus loves me. This I know. Basic? Nah. It's deep. And then we can go tell our neighbor that love has come near. And then we can tell the wounded and the weary world that she can rejoice, for God's love is big enough for their story. This world is aching for a love that never runs out and never gives up. And that is exactly the love that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Will you pray with me? Holy God, sometimes just to stand and open our palms and our hearts to receive your love, it's hard. We come with so many things inside of us that say, no, there's no way you could love me this much. But Lord, may the truth of this saturate our spirits. May the truth of your love for us change us and transform us into your image bearers in this world today. Lord, may we be bringing that light, that Advent light, not just leaving it here in this sanctuary to burn bright, but taking this with us to be love to a wounded world. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've given us everything we need as though you love us so much. In your name we pray. Amen.